Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Batman. Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Hey everyone, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. Today we've got a really special guest. In fact, I even look up to him myself. This guy has been taking photos almost longer than I've been around on this planet. So that's how you know he's a professional. But here with me today, I've got Vic Moss, who's known for his HDR photography. And in fact, he'll actually be teaching next week's webinar on aerial panos. If you're not familiar with panos, well, don't worry, you will be soon, because you're getting taught by the best. Recently, just won an award for best HDR photographer from Unified Color Technologies, which had a competition focusing on the best HDR photography from both America and Canada. Vic, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I appreciate it, sir. I really do, you know, love what you do. And, you know, you've got a great story. And we've got a series coming up talking about the 333 and the things that we have heard from our friends and pilots around the country. And I really think that your story is encouraging. We've got another upcoming story about GoPros on feature films that we're doing. And I just think that, you know, the story you told me about the job you did yesterday, it's really, you know, it's a great story, and I think people want to hear, you know, how. So let me give the background here. Guys, there was a guy who was taking drone footage or aerial photography for this company, and he backed out of the deal only to tell the company that no one else could fly for that company unless they had a 333. Is that true, Vic?
Yeah, he got a better gig, so he decided to call that company back and say, "I got a better gig, so I'm not doing your shoot," which is, you know, real professional. But when he told them that, when he told the client that whoever they get to replace him had to have 333, had to have a 333 exemption. And so when the client called me, found me on the internet, because I have a lot of drone stuff on the internet, on my website, she brought that up, and so I said, "Not so much." And proceeded to explain to her the real rules behind the 333 exemption, and sent her the information that proves the FAA isn't even doing anything about it.
Did you send her that podcast, the episode 100, where we got Jim Williams from the FAA on?
No, actually, I didn't even need to do that. I sent her some of the information about the advisory, that 356-page advisory or whatever it is, where you only have to read the last two pages, where it says that they're not going to go after 333 operators for commercial use only. Only if they're going to have moderate or extreme, I think, I can't remember the exact words, but only if it was moderate or high risk to property or people.
Meaning, if you're flying unsafely, they're coming after you.
Right, which is the end. And they said, oh, if they're not doing that, don't do it. You know, if they're doing that as a 333 also, then yeah, you can do both, but don't go after 333 on the fact that they're a non-compliant 333 pilot.
You know, which I find funny too, because, you know, one of the comments that came up recently is we had a TV show call in and say, hey, we need a pilot for this, but we're going to need someone with a 333. And we said, why? You know, what's the reasoning behind that? They're like, well, you know, the union says we need a 333. And I said, well, that's great. I didn't know the union had any drone operator spots as of yet, because as I've understood, it's still, it's not defined with the union. And, you know, one of the things that they realized, they're like, well, you know, we're going to have to do a 333 no matter what. You know, I showed them that same information, Vic, about the case law, about what the FAA has put out in that paperwork and the stuff that we have in our legalities course. You know, yeah, it's 300 pages long, but again, you read that last little paragraph and it really puts everything in perspective, which the FAA says very clearly, you know, unless you are flying with a medium to high risk of people or persons on the ground, they're not coming after you. But that's exactly. that's the funny thing, though, Vic, because with the 333, if you have one, you can't fly within, what is it, 500 feet of a person?
500 feet of non-participatory people, or whatever the government English is that they use on that,
Which I gotta say is just totally mind-blowing. I honestly don't even understand it anymore, why people believe everything they hear in the media. But, you know, one of the things that we're realizing, Vic, and I think you're another perfect example of this, is even if someone has a 333, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have the skill to pull off the job, or in this case, the professionalism.
No, and you can get a 333 without ever being in the air.
Which is funny.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right.
Yeah, you don't have to prove, capability to fly. You know, you have to prove capability to fly an airplane, which is, they don't really work well together.
No, they really don't.
Drone. And I can understand why some people go after a 333. That's great. There are certain clients that require it, which is awesome. I mean, hey, go for it. You know, those are the high buck clients, and if you want to go through the brain damage and, play by the FAA rules, per se, rules in parentheses, then go for it. It's worth your time, and it's worth your money.
You really do make a great point, though, in saying that, you're going to have clients that sometimes they're just going to say, explain to me why... why a 333 is not really prominent or relevant or legal or held up by case law or actually real in the real world, because there are some people out there that all they want to know is what they're told in the media. And, like you said, you made a great point in that, how much time do you really want to spend on a client talking them into something that you're already doing for other clients?
I don't mind doing too much about that, because it's only happened twice, and actually both these last couple of weeks, when I did a class at CU, University of Colorado Journalism School, on drones. They brought up the 333, and I said, no, I don't need it, and convinced them as well that I don't need a 333 just to do a demo for a journalism class.
Yeah, and that what's funny is that, we didn't need a 333 when we did the Rocky Mountain Air Show, but it was on a COA, so I find
that
funny.
The FAA was there.
The FAA was watching over my shoulder.
Yeah, they didn't care.
No.
That's the field people. It's the field people that get frustrated by it, because they're the ones like, hey, we got to enforce the nonsense that comes down.
Yeah.
I'm from Washington, so I feel bad for them as well.
Yeah, I do too. And guys, if you ever meet up with an FAA field op, they're normally called FISDO, Flight Safety or Flight Standards Division Office. And if they ever ask you about, flying drones commercially, you ask them about the document 2150.3B, change 6, appendix H. Now, this is a document that Vic and I were talking about when it says, and I quote, when sufficient evidence exists to support a violation that poses a medium or high actual or potential risk to safety, legal enforcement action is appropriate. For example, legal enforcement action is appropriate when a UAS operation has a medium or high risk of endangering the operation of another aircraft or endangering persons or property on the ground. I mean, that seems pretty clear cut and dry to me.
Actually, I just looked it up. It's 354 pages long.
354 pages. So when you
I
get
just
to
pull it up, everything you need is page 353 and 354.
My summer reading skills in middle school would have paid off brilliantly in this instance. I don't know if when you were in high school or college and you got your summer reading list, and sometimes you would go to Spark Notes or read the end of the book to get all the information, which with drone education, you really can't do, because there are so many nuances that you really need to learn. But in this case, it really would have paid off quite well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you're dating yourself. When I was in high school, we didn't have a summer reading list.
Fair enough.
That was the early 80s. That was the late 70s and early 80s.
So Vic, with the 333, you said you've only had really the instance two times when someone has asked. What are you seeing up there in Colorado when it comes to 333? How many guys do you know that are flying with, and how many guys do you know that are flying without? And, what kind of, my next question after that is, what kind of, What's the difference in the quality that you're seeing between the two?
Well, there are more flying without than with, but Colorado does have a number of 333s. I think we're third or fourth in the country. But most of it's all precision ag, inspection, that kind of stuff. Locally, I'm not going to name names, but locally, probably the best pilot and film guy out here in Colorado does fly with one. And then I also know somebody who's right now in the process of getting one because he wants to do the inspections.
Interesting.
And the big guys that he would do the inspecting for require it. That's the first thing out of their mouth when you talk to them. It's like, okay, what's your 333?
Yeah.
And so in that particular instance, yeah, I'll go for it. And plus, he wants to learn how to fly an airplane anyway. So, hey, why not?
You know, and that's
a perfect example of when you get one.
It is such a perfect example. And, you know, one of the things that we haven't really talked about much is which part or which industry do you want to go into? Because based on that industry is really based off of, you know, the perception of need for the 333. Because like you said, with those big industrial jobs, if the perception is there, then the need quantifies itself.
Yeah. But me, I'm a photographer. I've been a photographer for 26 years, like you said earlier, you know, longer than you've been around. And
hey, I turn 27 tomorrow.
Oh, there we go. Happy birthday. you know, I'm coming at it as a photographer who's using it as a tool. So for me to do what I do, like this morning, I shot a group portrait of 200 people in the shape of 100 of the number of the numerals 100, because it was this company's 100th anniversary. And so I'm a photographer, and for what I'm doing with it and the budgets that are there, what's the point? You know, when NPRM comes out, whatever it is, 174, whatever it is, I'll be first in line. You know, let's get the regulations going. Let's make this a well-regulated industry, like a well-regulated militia. And let's bring the professionalism into it that way. And, the FDA is just, they're just playing catch-up right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. And, you know, when we talk about professionalism, like you said, with this guy who's saying, you know, you have to have a 333 to get jobs. And one of the things that, you know, just recently happened to me is, I'm flabbergasted. A guy in town had his daughter call my client and say, hey, this guy doesn't have a 333. He can't fly legally. And then I get a call from the client saying, we're not sure about working with you anymore. And then the next phone call I get is from the guy who has the 333 in town trying to hire me for the job that I already had.
That's interesting.
Exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that I've realized is that it is sometimes better to walk away. And since that all happened, I've been getting more and more jobs in the stuff that I enjoy filming. And this goes back to, you know, what industry do you want to film in and what is the perception of the 333? Because with extreme sports, with action sports, you know, what it comes down to is, can you fly safely next to our riders and our equipment and our boat, make it look really beautiful and not hit anything?
Right.
You know, are you insured?
Right. Shooting the
stills. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Vic, I just want to say thank you so much for having you on our show today. If you want to check out more about Vic Moss, go to mossphotography.biz. I mean, this guy really has the skill. He is a time-tested educator. He is a preacher. He is the best photographer of architecture that you would ever see.
I don't know about the best, but, you know, I'm okay.
And that's the humble side of Vic Moss. Well, Vic, thank you so much for being on the show. We greatly appreciate it. Do you have any last words for our listeners out there?
No, I'd say just fly safe, fly smart, and don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that ma'am or man.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be the undercharger. Anyway, guys, really appreciate it, Vic. Really appreciate you guys as listeners.
Right.
Don't forget, if you have a question, go to askdroneu.com, upload that question, and we will answer it right on the spot. I wanted to take a break from all of our questions. We've got so many, and I just want to say thank you again for making this the number one podcast in aviation. Vic, thank you again so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And on that bombshell, guys, that's going to do it for us today. You're listening to Ask Drone U.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.